Right, are you ready to hear the word?
Yes.
Great. Now, we've been going through this series entitled Get Answers, Get Perspective. This is what we've been talking about probably in the past 7 weeks or so, and slowly we are drawing down to the end of the series. We are living in a time where the ministry of prophecy has been under severe attack in the body of Christ. The ministry of prophecy has been under severe attack in the body of Christ. There's been so much abuse. If you look around, you just need to read the newspapers. You'll find that around this ministry, abuse has been so rife. And because of that, many people look at the prophetic ministry with an eye of doubt and skepticism. They are very skeptic about the prophetic. And yet it is one of the most important gifts in the body of Christ. I mean, as of late, we can speak of the prophets of doom, people who spray doom on people, you know, people who make people to eat grass and snakes and hair and all sorts of funny stuff in the body of Christ. Now, the fact that they are fake prophets, it doesn't mean that we should do away with this ministry. What one would call throwing the water with the baby out of the bathtub. No, we don't need to do that. It is therefore important that we know how to handle the prophetic in our lives, both from the side of the prophet, the one who declares the word, and the one who receives the prophetic word. So this morning I've entitled my message, Judging Prophecy. It is part of me answering certain questions. Judging Prophecy is going to be a two-part series where we're going to look at the prophetic. And I'm believing that through this teaching, it will trigger the prophetic in you and it will make you to be open to the prophetic. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you excited about this teaching this morning?
Amen.
Judging the prophecy. Judging prophecy. How do we do that? Now, when the prophetic is functioning as God designed it to be, I want you to know it has a tremendous ability to bless, to strengthen, to encourage, to motivate, to inspire, to envision, and to challenge people in their walk with God. When the prophetic is used in the way it is supposed to, it will really, really bless the people of God. But at the same time, when the prophetic is abused, so much damage can take place in the body of Christ. There are so many people who are so discouraged because of the way things were uttered to them that they lost faith in God. Maybe you're one of those. You're no longer open to the prophetic because, well, I don't really believe that stuff. People just make up stuff. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. And I'm saying when the prophetic is functioning in the way that it should, it really blesses people in their lives and encourages people in their walk with God. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. But especially that you may prophesy. Especially that you may prophesy. Then you ask me, does it mean every child of God can actually prophesy? And I say, yes. Every child of God born of the Holy Spirit is able to give a prophetic word. What is prophecy? It is a word of encouragement. It is a word of exhortation. It is a word of telling somebody that there is something about you that God wants to do in you and through you. Whenever we talk about the prophetic, we shy away from it because we only think the prophetic in as far as looking into the future and telling people like, ooh, I see a wife in your life. I see you getting married to this man. I see that in 6 months' time, you're going to get this and this. You're going to fall pregnant in a year's time. I see you are carrying a baby girl, and yet you're carrying a baby boy. True story, it happened to us. There we were at church. A new guy rocks up at church. My wife was pregnant with Andrew. This guy walks up to us and says, I can see you are carrying a baby girl. You're carrying a baby girl. She's going to be a great woman. My wife says, no. She says, no, it's not a baby girl. It's a baby boy. We've just been to the doctor. It's a baby boy. And he says, no, 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 no. I know you want it to be a baby boy, but it's a baby girl. My wife says, excuse me. And we walked away. This guy was a new guy who just visited our church. And he started speaking things like that. I'm telling you, if you're not careful, this prophetic thing can just take you out of church. And you say, what is this hogwash we are being taught? But there's something beautiful about the prophetic. The Bible says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, we're speaking of the tongues that we speak, all of us, those of you who are baptized in the spirit. You speak in a new tongue. You don't understand what you're saying, but you're speaking mysteries unto God. Now, he says here, but you speak mysteries. Verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. That is the power of the prophetic. When we declare what God is doing in the church, when we say we sense a shift in the spirit, the Lord is bringing a new level of boldness in the church. The Lord is making us a prevailing church. It becomes a word of encouragement of wherever you are and what you are going through. Now, I want you to realize that many people are afraid to question the prophetic. They are very much scared because it's not the easiest of things to do. Now, there's a reason why we need to judge prophecy. When you go down in verse 29 of 1 Corinthians 14, this is what Paul says. He says, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others do what? Judge. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. So the issue of judging prophecy is scriptural. And I must say, it is easier said than done when it comes to judging prophecy. Why? Because when you are judging prophecy, you might feel that you are judging the person who is giving the prophetic. You feel like you are judging even the very Spirit of God. Why? Because the prophetic comes from the inspiration of the Spirit of God. That is what we understand. Glory be to God. So many people feel they are so uneasy to challenge the prophetic. And no one wants to be on that side of things where you feel, I'm challenging the Spirit of God right here. Now, this feeling is removed by having this understanding. Prophecy is not to be viewed as infallible. That is very, very important. When you are in the house of God, you go to a conference, I want you to know that the prophetic is not infallible. It is not to be taken to be on the same par as the written word of God. The prophetic is not infallible. Why? Because it comes through people who are fallible. This is the issue. God can speak something powerful in my life, but because of where I find myself spiritually and emotionally, I won't be able to deliver it exactly the way God intended it to be. That is why, for a lack of a better statement, you need to take it with a pinch of salt. You will see why I'm saying this. So prophecy comes through people who are fallible and can be affected by many different circumstances. You find that, yes, the Lord has spoken, but the flesh takes over and this person starts speaking from the flesh. When you're sensitive enough, when somebody's giving you a prophetic word, sometimes you can clearly see a distinction from the time where it was the Spirit of God speaking to when he shifted to his fleshly person. You can clearly see like, something has shifted here. Now, the question is, why should we judge prophecy? Why judge prophecy? Number one of the reasons why we need to judge prophecy is in the absence of judging prophecy, we open people to being seriously misled in their walk with the Lord. If we don't take time to scrutinize the prophetic, we risk the church to be misled and to be misguided in the process. That's the one reason why we need to judge the prophetic. Number two, Why we need to judge the prophetic is Christ was the only infallible ministry. And everything and everyone else is subservient to Christ. Which means if you declare a word to me, I must cross-reference it to Christ. I must judge it based on the truth that is found in Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the benchmark of everything else. So please don't get annoyed if I say to you, I need to check this. If I say, I need to pray about this. If you come to me as a lead pastor and you say, Pastor, this is what I'm sensing about the church, I might not utter it in front until I'm comfortable with it. Some people will be offended by that. Then already we can see there was an ulterior motive why you gave that word. If you are only being used like a mic, have you ever heard the mic saying, no, no, don't touch me like this? No. See, if God has spoken through you, you should be able to speak and walk away. Yes. And say, Lord, I've delivered your word. What he says, what he does with it, it's up to him. Amen. What I do with what you tell me, it's really up to me. I become accountable for everything that I know of. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. So don't get offended when somebody does not take your prophetic word. Because it's not your word anyway. Amen. Okay. So Christ was the only infallible ministry, and everything and everyone else is subservient to him. The last point about why we should judge prophecy is the Bible indicates that there will be false ministries, false teachers, pastoral hirelings, people who do pastoring because of the money they get. So they will come and start saying things to please people which is not in line with the word of God. False apostles and false prophets. Peter speaks about this and says, in the last days, there will be false prophets. That is why we cannot just trust anyone and everybody. We need to test everything. Are we together so far? Yes. Now, the question is, how do we do it? How do we judge the prophetic? How to judge the prophetic? Now, when we are judging prophecy, there are a number of tests that we can apply. That we can apply in order to reach a safe conclusion about a word that would have been delivered. And I want you to think back and see when you have received a prophetic word. I want you to just consider all of those, you know. And maybe you were gullible. You're like, ooh, the man of God, the MOG just spoke stuff over my life. And then you just took it. I remember, I'm very serious about the prophetic. But in 2002, of all the prophetic words I've received, there's one that I took, I refused. There I was at UCT. I was the chairperson of the Student Christian Council there, and we invited a pastor. Okay, I did not invite him, but one of the guys invited him. I had an issue with him in terms of character, in terms of, because I had a background information. So he called the leadership down, we went, and he started praying for us. He started praying for us, and he got to me. And he says, Father, everything that I have, I give to him. Right there, my spirit rejected. I said, no, I know what you have, and I don't want it. Yeah. Hello? Was I wrong in saying that? No, I wasn't. My spirit was not at peace when I heard that because I knew he had marital issues, financial issues, mismanagement of issues at their church. And there he is. He comes to me. He lays hands on me and says, Father, everything that I have, I give to him. Say, no, thank you. Thank you, but no, thank you. Pass on. You see, I did not have to vocalize it. It was in my spirit, man. You see, for you to receive a prophetic word, you do not have to say, yes, sir, yes, papa, yes, papa. No, you don't have to say that. Hello? It has to be in your heart, in your spirit, man, to say, I receive this with all my heart. The Bible says, if you receive a prophet as a prophet, you receive the reward of a prophet. Which means if you don't receive that prophet, you won't receive their reward. That day, I did not receive his reward because I did not receive him. Hello? Yeah. It's very, very important. So how do we judge the prophetic? The first paramount test is the written word of God. Every prophetic word is subject to the infallible word of God. Every prophecy must be in harmony with the scriptures. Otherwise, it must be rejected outrightly. Can you imagine somebody coming to you? They say to you, "I had a dream about you. You are a married person. I had a dream about you, and you are getting married to that woman. And I believe the Lord is saying something about you." Do you receive that? Is it in line with the word? No, it's not in line with the word. So every prophetic word has to be tested by the written word of God. It is the ultimate criterion of judging prophecy. So you receive a prophetic word, you need to get into the word and say, is this word in line with what the word says? And if it contradicts the word, you don't need to get another confirmation. You don't need to ask around. You reject it immediately because it's not in line with the word. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every written word was inspired by the Spirit of God. That is why it made it into the canon. That is why it made it into what we call the Bible now. So we need to measure everything alongside that. Otherwise, if we accept scripture, prophetic words that are contradicting the word, we are then saying we need to add something to the canon. We are then saying the canon is not complete. And there are false doctrines out there that are saying, well, we need to add a couple of other things right now. Recently, we've heard of the Pope changing the Lord's Prayer. Just go and read around that. The Pope has said the Lord's Prayer needs to read differently. If we start there, where does it stop? How far do you go? Because he says you cannot pray the prayer, the portion that says, lead us not into temptation, because the Lord does not lead you into temptation. We need to understand the construction of that sentence to understand what Jesus meant. Now, if we say, let's change that portion of the prayer of the Lord Jesus, because that's not the nature of God, where else do we go? Don't start unless you're prepared to finish it. Isaiah 8, verse 19. Someone may say to you, let's ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead. With their whisperings and mutterings, they will tell us what to do. But shouldn't people ask God for guidance? That's the question. Shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Should the living seek guidance from the dead, look to God's instructions and teachings. This is the thing, guys. The Lord is always speaking. All you need is to hear him when you read the Bible. I have a problem with the Christians in South Africa, all over Africa, where we are pursuing the man of God for a new word. I want to hear what God is saying about tomorrow. Am I going to get a new job? Am I going to get a promotion? Lazy Christians are rising in our churches because we don't want to search the scriptures for ourselves. God is always speaking through his word. It's a bonus when a prophet comes and says, thus says the Lord. But that's not the primary way that God speaks. The primary way that God speaks is in his word. Do you want a prophet to tell you forgive your mother-in-law? Do you want a prophet to tell you that forgive your husband? No. The Bible says if you do not forgive, the Father in heaven will not forgive you. That says the Lord. I've just given a prophetic word right now to somebody. People of God, listen, this is what the Lord says. If you do not forgive, God will not forgive you. I'm just trying to draw a point here. That the word of God is all we need for the prophetic. In the absence of somebody saying that says the Lord, go to the word. But we respect the ministry of prophets. That is very, very key. At the same time. So that's the first test, the word of God. The second test, this is test number two, the spirit and the manner in which the word is given should help you to test, to judge the prophet, or the prophetic word. The spirit and the manner in which the word is given. Why am I saying this? Go to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. As a rule, the way in which a prophecy is given should result in ministering edification. The end result of a prophetic word should leave you feeling at peace or convicted, not condemned. Okay? The end result of any prophetic word should leave you feeling exhorted, encouraged in the Lord, feeling like I'm really challenged. I want to pursue what God is saying about my life. Any prophetic word that leaves you feeling scarred, you need to shelve it. We'll get to that point in a moment. So, the spirit and the manner in which a prophetic word is given should tell you, should give you a telltale sign whether you need to be very cautious about what is being said. Verse 31. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Very, very key here. Paul is saying the spirit of a prophet is under the prophet. Which means when God is speaking through a prophet, he doesn't bring confusion in the process. It's not a chaotic scene where you got so many people prophesying at the same time or people demanding to come and speak. Now, I've seen people running from the back and almost grabbing the mic because they've got a prophetic word. I'll say, sister, sit down until there's sobriety in your life. Because God is not an author of confusion. So the moment people push their way to speak a prophetic word, that should be a sign already. Like, okay, let's tread carefully here. Why? Because God is not an author of confusion. You see, it's one thing to be in a place where it is so spiritually charged and everybody is praying and crying out to God. And then it's another thing when you hear people popping up randomly just saying, that says the Lord, that says the Lord, and there's mess and confusion. Paul is saying here, wait for one another. Give each other an opportunity to speak so that there is order, so that everyone can hear. Why? Because the prophetic is there to edify. The prophetic is there to encourage. So when somebody comes to you and they are being forceful about the way they are speaking to you, almost demanding and manipulating your emotions so that you can say, yes, Papa, that's a sign that you need to be careful. The Spirit of God is not forceful. He is called a gentle spirit. He is a spirit of order. When there was no order in the time of creation, God started putting order on earth. And I want you to know, when the Spirit of God speaks to you, he will leave you in a place of peace. He doesn't leave you confused. He'll give you understanding about what he is saying, if it is the first time that you're hearing it. So that is the second test that we need to look at. You see, whenever a prophet speaks in a harsh way, it might be a reflection of his own emotional state. Because that's not the Spirit of God. That's not how God intends the prophetic to be harsh and to be cutting into at the end. It might be a reflection of the messenger. Test number three. How do we test the prophetic? The conduct and the personal life of the prophet. The conduct and the personal life of the prophet has a huge bearing on the prophetic. As a principle, the quality of the life of the prophet will also determine the quality of the prophecy. I'm going to repeat that. The quality of the life of the prophet will have a bearing on the quality of the prophetic. You see, we are deceived to think we can separate the life of the prophet and the cleanness of the word that comes from them. We are deceived. There has to be an alignment of the way that a pastor lives and the type of word that he preaches. So many times you see wrong signs in a pastor. It's one thing to be a blip, but it's another thing to have a trend. It's another thing to have a systematic failure of character in the life of a prophet and you think that he can speak a pure word. No. If there's a systematic failure of morality in the life of an individual, you need to take whatever they say with a pinch of salt. There was a guy that we know who was in our church some time back, not in this church. He was a chronic liar. Chronic liar. But he also delved in the prophetic. And then we marked the person and say, you've got to watch out. Whenever this guy speaks, we've got to control what comes out. We've got to just guard that moment. Why? Because there was no relationship between the lifestyle and what this person was professing. So that is a very key indicator on what would come out of a person. God's usual method of speaking is through vessels that are aligned with his ways. Glory be to God. That is the usual way of God operating. He looks for a vessel that is submitted to him. And child of God, if you are a submitted vessel, you are a submitted child of God. The Lord wants to use you as this vessel. He wants to glorify his name through your life. And from time to time, he will drop a prophetic word in your heart. That is why we must be encouraged to walk a life of separation. But I know at the same time, there's nothing that can stop God from speaking through a donkey. You remember the story of Balaam and Balak? There was Balaam going to give a prophetic word, and God was not interested. He said, no, don't go and speak this way to Balak, because there's a judgment over this nation. But Balaam was wooed by money and gifts, and there he was going to give a prophetic word to curse the children of Israel who were coming out of Egypt. But in the process, God had to use his own donkey. God had to use his own donkey. Remember, we said God is sovereign, but that is not the norm. It is a blip in the system, but God is a systematic God. He looks for people who are righteous, people on the right standing with him, and he'll give them a word for the church and for somebody else. Why? Because a life of obedience will make it easy for one to be able to hear that still small voice. If you cannot be obedient in hearing for yourself, how will you be obedient to hear on behalf of somebody else? If it doesn't work in the bedroom, don't export it. Hello? If it doesn't work at home, don't bring it to church. I believe ministry has to start at home. If it works at home, then it is the overflow in the house of God. We try and wink it in the house of God, like, let's just see what will happen. No, nothing will happen. It must work in your private life. Because private victories will enable you to have public victories. Glory be to God. So God will use those who are already in a place of obedience, in a place where they can hear for themselves. What has the Lord been saying to you now as an individual? That's a question that I need to answer, you need to answer. We were in a week of fasting. Did the Lord speak to you? Has the Lord been challenging you on certain things in your life? Or he's been quiet? And yet we want to stand up and say, guys, this is what God is saying about the church. When we get used to hearing for ourselves in our time of prayer, then God can start trusting us with a word for somebody else. Because when you are faithful with the little, with regards to yourself as an individual, then God will give you more. He will give you more room to operate and start showing you dreams for people. Hello? Yes. So the conduct of that person is very, very key. Look at Matthew 7, verse 15. The Bible says, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. Beware of false prophets who come to you and they are dressed like sheep in order to deceive some. Verse 16, you can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, And a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. And a bad tree can't produce good fruit. It comes down to that, people of God. Let's not be manipulated by emotions. We can see a trend in the life of this guy, in the life of this woman. And then they come and say to you, that says the Lord. And I ask, which Lord? Which Lord has spoken to you? Because that Lord should speak to your behavior first. That glory be to God. You see, as churches, we need to be very, very... The Bible says, be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove, and not to be gullible. And as a pastor, I'm very jealous of this pulpit. I will not bring anyone here who will speak things that are not in line with the word of God. So, the life of a prophet is an indicator of how you should take the prophetic word. So, test number four. Test number four is the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Hello? The inner witness of the Holy Spirit is test number four. Do you know that sometimes you go to churches where you feel like there are different levels of the Holy Spirit? There's baby Holy Spirit who is in everyone else in the pews, and there's big Holy Spirit who is inhabiting the prophet. Hello? You almost feel like there are ranks around the Holy Spirit level. Like, that's a baby Holy Spirit. You can't hear the way that I hear. They'll tell you, there are levels, my brother. There are levels. I acknowledge there are levels, but teach me how to get to your level. Why are you hiding the way to get to where you are? For me to depend on you for the whole of my life? No, that's not the plan of God. I believe in the priesthood of believers. Every believer should be able to prophesy over their child. Don't call me to speak a word over your child. You carry the Spirit of God. You speak to your own child. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what I believe. And I think the scripture can back it up. That we are priests in the house of God. Remember, back in the Old Testament, the priest represented God before man. At the same time, the priest represented man before God. Which means I am the priest in my house. I should be able to speak to my kids and bless them and speak a prophetic word over them as they go to school. Yes. Hello? And I know that word, because of angelic activities, it will be activated. Amen. Now, the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. We all carry the Spirit of God. You see, because we carry the Spirit of God, who is also inhabiting that prophet who is giving that powerful word, there should be some level of witness in my spirit when that word is given. In that case, this will result in an inner peace. The inner peace that results from that witness. That I can, what you're saying, my spirit can witness it. Or what you're saying, I'm not very sure. Okay, but how do we deal with that in those moments when you feel like I don't quite agree with what you're saying? Now, 1 Corinthians 2:11, the Bible says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God." So there are things that have been freely given to us by God through His Holy Spirit. Therefore, if you carry the Holy Spirit, you should be able to witness to what the Spirit is saying. That is why from time to time, the Lord Jesus says, "Let him who has ears hear what the Spirit says." Let him who has ears hear what the Spirit says. So we carry the Spirit of God. We should not be afraid to test what has been prophesied over our lives. Now, be as it may, do not take prophecy lightly. This is very important. Do not take prophecy lightly. Spend specific time in prayer regarding its content, especially if it leaves you not feeling comfortable, If something is happening in your spirit, man, don't just discard it. You've got to take it to prayer and ask, Father, could there be some truth in what I heard? You need to pray until peace comes back or until there's no peace. Then you know, I'm not going to take it. Do you know that God is not a harsh God who says, because you refused my prophetic word, you're not going to get another one? No. God is very gracious. If you refuse one because it created confusion, guess what? He will catch you again. He will bring it again. He will speak to you again concerning the same thing. Then after a number of times, now an issue of disobedience. What am I saying this morning? If there is dispense from a word that I give you, please subject it to prayer. Pray about it. Shelf it. Pray until the peace of God comes, or you leave it and say, Lord, if it is you, you will speak again. God does not run out of time. He doesn't say, I have spoken once. Take it or leave it. No, he doesn't say that. He's a loving God. Because he wants you to know his will. He wants you to know what he's about to do. Therefore, he will come to you again. It reminds me of Manoah, the father of Samson. When Samson was about to be birthed, an angel came to the mother of Samson and gave her a prophetic word. And says, you're going to bear a child. This child is going to be special. This child shall be a Nazarene. You will not cut their hair, his hair. He will not drink anything from the vine, no wine, no alcohol, because he's a special instrument unto God. The angel appeared to his wife. The wife ran home and said, this man appeared before me, and he gave me a prophetic word. And Manoah says, really? Okay, I'm going to ask that man appears to me as well. Guess what? The angel appeared and spoke to him. That's the heart of God when it comes to him releasing a word over our lives. Number five, the confirmation of other witnesses. That is very, very key. The confirmation of other witnesses. You know, this reminds me of what I see sometimes in very interesting churches. You know, it's almost like when they have spoken, it is God who has spoken and it cannot be questioned. They also go to the point of saying, you see, this is your spiritual covering. If you leave this spiritual covering, your life will be in a mess. Have you become God? That's abuse that comes from the pulpit. Where we manipulate people to keep them in our churches and we tell them, if you leave this church, things won't go well with you. Now, pastor, you're no longer a pastor. You're becoming a witch. That's witchcraft, period. You are declaring a curse over somebody. But our mouth has been given to us to declare a blessing. And you say to him, because you're no longer under my covering, your marriage won't work. You don't deserve to be a pastor. Go look for another job in the secular world. But people are gullible. That is why here I'm saying the way to judge the prophetic is to get witnesses. There must be witnesses at some point. With every prophetic word, there should be a level of confirmation. And I should be able to say to Shadi, Shadi, this word, please go check it. Okay? Go verify it. If it settles well with you, receive it. If you're not, put it aside. Don't worry about it. I should be comfortable with saying those things to you. I'm not even putting a level of doubt. I'm just being a person of integrity, of saying, this is not me. This is what I'm sensing right now. Go check it. The moment I say to him, you cannot check this word. We need to do this because God has spoken. Maybe certain things have shifted. Now, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1. This will be the third time I'm coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Hello? By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. I had a season in my life that for over 5 years, every prophetic person who was being invited to our church would pick me out from the crowd. I mean, I came to a point of expecting it. I'm like, I know God is going to speak. And without fail, I'm like, please, can you come? There's a word for you. until my pastor would say, Michael, God loves you so much. Why is it every person who comes here has got to wait for you? Yeah. And I want you to know God was giving witness. God was giving witness to the word. So I remember one of the prophetic words I received. This pastor came and says, Pastor Michael, where are you? At that time, I did not see myself as a pastor. Okay? And I looked, and my pastor says, he's talking about you. You know? He's talking about you. So I stood up, and he gave this word. But I could see God was preparing me for something. And it was a season of such intense prophetic word over my life. I was running away from being called a pastor. Like, that's not for me. I'll be a deacon in the church. I don't mind. I can be helping the main pastor, but I don't know. Look what's happening today. Now, the Lord is very hilarious. I love him. Now, these are some of the witnesses. Who are some of these witnesses? The first one is other prophetic ministries. Other prophetic ministries. When you receive a word that you feel, God, I really want you to confirm this, you must ask the Father and say, Daddy, confirm it with somebody else. I'm going to wait. You should tell God, Lord, I'm going to wait until this word is confirmed. Because you see, some prophetic words are very much direct into the future. You're told you're going to be leaving your company or you're going to relocate to another place. Don't just move until there's proper confirmation. I remember one of the prophetic words I received when I was in varsity. This prophet came and he declared and says, Michael, I see you working for a large construction company. And in 6 years' time, you will leave the company. 6 years' time, right? And that was in 2003. I started working in 2004, July. And I'm telling you, on the dot, on the 31st of July, 2010, I left the company. Can I say that guy was a true prophet? Well, with regards to that, he was a true prophet. I don't know of anything else. But for me, that word came tops right on time. On the 31st of July, I left Cape Town. I was actually leaving Cape Town, starting a new job in Centurion. This word was given in 2003, August. They said, I see you working for a construction company. And for 6 years, God speaks. So we need to pay heed to the prophetic. So, other prophetic ministries. Secondly, pastors and other church leaders. Very, very key. If you're under a church and there's a leadership that God has put over you, because you are coming to the church and you want to be part of the church, you can trust them and bounce off. I went to this conference and this word was given to me. Please, can you test it with me? Can you pray with me? And because we've been watching over you over a period of time, I want you to know there are things that God will start bringing in our hearts concerning individuals. I will be able to say to you, I have seen that over your life. And I think that word is accurate. Just put pressure on it and see what God will do. Oh, I'm like, sister, that word, I'm not very sure, hey? It doesn't look like it fits where you are right now, okay? It sounds a bit contradicting on what we've been seeing over your life. Those are checks and balances. And the Bible says in the multitude of counsel, there is wisdom. So I'm not saying go to every Harry, Tom, and Dick, Tabang, and, no. Go to people whom you trust. Your parents is another one. Parents and those that God has put over your life, over our lives. Your parents are key, especially if your parents are believers. I pray for my kids more than anyone else prays for my kids. And therefore, one day when Andrew comes to me and says, Daddy, somebody told me that there's a prophetic ministry over my life, I'll be able to say to him, Andrew, I saw it when you were young. You had prophetic dreams when you were young, Andrew. I believe it's true. Pray more about it. Why? Because I've lived with this kid. I've prayed for him. And the Lord has dropped things in my heart. Do you see the power of being a prophetic person for your family and for what God has brought in front of you? Very, very key. So it is a good principle to always check with your spiritual leaders regarding any prophetic word. Test number 6. How do we test the prophetic? I've labored on this point. The edification by the word given. The word given must edify you. It must leave you at a place where you feel like, I need to repent. I need to change my ways. I need grace, Lord, to step into this new dimension of life. any prophetic utterance should leave you feeling built up, should leave you feeling encouraged, should leave you feeling corrected, not condemned, because that's how the Father speaks to us. Now, anything contrary to that must be taken with caution. It is very, very important. Now, whenever a correcting message has been given to you as a prophet, you need to have the right heart to deliver it in a pastoral way so that the person does not remain feeling guilty and not worth anything in their life. So if you feel there's a word of correction right now, you've got to bring it to myself or to the leadership of the church so that we are able to craft that word. We are not watering down the word. We are choosing the right word so that the spirit with which it was given goes through to the person. Otherwise, we can take on a judgmental attitude that leaves people in a place where they are worse off. I cannot stand here and say, yes, I've heard certain dreams about certain people in this church here. I cannot stand and say, I have had a dream about you, and in this dream you're doing this and this and this, and God says, stop it. I might look like a big man of God, and everyone like, wow, did you hear that? But what does it do to him? Does it leave him feeling encouraged? Does it leave him feeling like I need to turn around my life? Or like, oh, forget it, man. You've just embarrassed me. What kind of a God is that? So instead of pushing somebody to a place of repentance, you push them to a place of being stubborn. Hello? Very, very key. The last point. Every prophetic word has to result in the exhortation of Jesus Christ. Every prophetic word has to result in Jesus being glorified, Jesus being magnified. But what I've seen sometimes in other churches, people who give the prophetic word, they forget that they're just instruments. They then think they are a small Jesus who needs to be worshipped. Pride kicks in. We forget that God can use anybody, anywhere. Now, every prophetic word must glorify Jesus. It must bring honor to the Son of the living God. When you have given the prophetic word, you need to back off. Because, you see, there is a tricky thing here. After giving a prophetic word, you almost feel like you now have a responsibility to make it work in that life. No, you don't have a responsibility to make it work. Your responsibility was to deliver it in accuracy. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:28. As you can see, I've been quoting a lot from 1 Corinthians 14. You can read around that from chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. It is talking about the gifts, you know, the different ministry gifts. You can read for yourself just to get the full picture of what I'm talking about. Verse 24, the Bible says, "But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all." Remember, Paul was saying, desire spiritual gifts, especially the prophetic ministry, the word of prophecy. Why? Because it edifies. Why? Because it convicts. Why? Because it's easy for everyone to understand. Now, he says here, this new person is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Do you see the result of the prophetic? It results in somebody who has come to say, God is here. And he glorifies God in the process. Not glorifying the point man. He glorifies God in the process. In the book of the Revelation, John the Revelator had a moment with one of the angels who was showing him and things that were to happen. Now in Revelation 19 verse 10, he says here, "Then I fell down at his feet to worship him," to worship the angel. But he said, no, don't worship me. I am a servant of God. This is key, guys. If God gives you the grace to be prophetic, you are what? Simply a servant of God. You're simply a vessel of God. Just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. This angel said, don't worship me. And we should do that. When people start putting us as pastors on pedestals, we should be able to tell them, no, man, we should give more glory to Jesus. You'd find that when the pastor stands up, the whole auditorium goes in a pandemonium because the man of God has stood. And then he says, let's clap for Jesus. And there's just a tiny little worship. We should be able to correct what happens in our church so that Jesus is glorified. So here the angel says, I am a servant of God. If we can get that into our minds, into our hearts, to say we are just servants of God, that's a place of security. That applies to every ministry. You can have a great voice here, a great worship leader. If you are not careful, this thing of pride can really rise up in your heart. You've got to say to yourself, I'm only a servant of God. Worship only God. For the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for who? For Jesus. Hallelujah. For the essence of prophecy is to give glory or to give clear witness for Jesus. May the Lord help us as a church as we grow to remain balanced, to keep our feet on the ground as God imparts the prophetic gift. Next week, I'm going to be touching on the component that will help you to tap into the prophetic. Because then you are prepared to even judge yourself. Then you know very well how to listen and how to deliver. Amen. I want us to stand on our feet this morning. Did you get something this morning?